So we were, the last time that we met, I had to miss last week, but the last time we met, we were discussing the very central topic of psikresha. And I just want to finish some discussions of that, and we have some marmakomos, which will be mashlim, a little bit our analysis. So the what we were discussing was as follows. The Gemara here says, to get back to the background, this is one of the central Shas topics, as we know, in Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara says that there's a debate whether or not it's permissible to begin the marital relationship on Shabbos. And the Gemara seems to think that a pivotal component in that argument is whether we paskin the Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter or asar. Okay, that's what the Gemara says on top of Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Bebe Rav Amri Rav Shari Ushmuel Asar Ben Hardoy Amri Rav Asar Ushmuel Shari, the very top of Vava Medal. Meaning, there's a debate who said what, but there is discussion whether or not this is permissible or not. And the Gemara gives a kind of a hint at the kind of normative direction, seemingly. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak V'Simanech Elo Mekinon Liatzman Elo Mekinon Liatzman. Each academy, right, each yeshiva claimed that its authority figure was matir this circumstance. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'Rav Shari, according to one of the accounts, Rav was matir. But if Rav was matir, then the implication is that he holds a Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. And that doesn't seem to be consistent with another statement of Rav, which is, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chizkiya Mishmei de Rav, Hai Mesuchraya de Nezaisa, Asar Lahaduka Biyoma Tava. If you have a barrel and it has wine or beer in it, and you want to stop it up with a cloth of some sort, so the problem is one of schita. And what schita exactly is the first part of the Tosis, which we discussed another time already. But either way, the Gemara says that Rav did not allow this. And the Gemara wants to know, how could that be? If Rav holds Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter, certainly when a person uses a piece of cloth or material in order to close the hole in a barrel, certainly he doesn't intend schita. He intends to close the barrel. So that's Davar Sheinu Miskaven. But if you hold, according to Rav, Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter, why is this usur? We have a contradiction, right, in the worldview of Rav. So it would seem. So the Gemara answers this question by saying, Bahahu afila Rav Shimon moda, the bay varavadam retravayu, moda Rav Shimon bipsikresha velo yamuz. There is a debate between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda whether Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. We do paskin like Rav Shimon that Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. Even Rav holds that way. However, Rav Shimon, and therefore by extension Rav, agree that in a case of psikresha, which means that it's inevitable that when you do action A, action B will take place. If you cut off the head of a chicken, will it not die? Right? The answer is, Rav Shimon agrees in that circumstance that chayv. And that's what the Sukhraya de Nezaisa is. So the Gemara has basically introduced a new concept here, not new to us, because we've learned Shabbos and other places. But this is one of the few places, bunch of places in Shas where we're acquainted with this idea, and that is that psikresha v'lo yamus is prohibited on Shabbos. So then what's fascinating is that the Gemara on Vav Amud Beis says, okay, this is a very nice discussion, but how come it isn't relevant to what we've been talking about all along? We got into this whole discussion, right, in Masechet Ksuvos, because we're wondering whether or not the marital relationship can begin or not on Shabbos, and the discussion seemed to be revolving around Davar Sheinu Miskaven and Mekalkel and all the other such things. But we just acknowledged that there's something called Psikresha, which trumps the heter of Davar Sheinu Miskaven. Right? That might not be an accurate description of what's happening. We'll get to that in a moment. But in general terms, right? So this is the Gemara in Vav Amud Beis, towards the bottom, where the Gemara says as follows. Man Chachamim, you see the asterisk? This is 3, 6, 9, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom of the page. You see an asterisk. Man Chachamim, right? Omar Rabba, Rab Shimoni. Who are the Chachamim who allowed this relationship to begin on Shabbos? He answers Rab Shimon. Which Rab Shimon? Da Amar, da Rab Shimon Miskavin Mutter. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abayev, Amar Rab Shimon Miskavin Mutter. But we just said before that Rav Shimon doesn't help you whenever there's a psik reisha. And isn't it inevitable here as well that whatever the malacha is, let's assume chovel for the moment, that if you engage in this activity on Shabbos, that you're going to be involved in the malacha. So the Gemara says, no, here you're wrong for factual reasons. That's what the Gemara originally says. Amalei, lo kalalu bablium she'en b'kiyim b'ataya, eliyesh b'kiyim b'ataya. There are people who, you know, are able their technique is such that they're able to be involved in the in this action and not to violate Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Imkein Tarud Lama. So the Gemara says, She'eno Baki. Because the Gemara's wondering about why there's a Ptur Kriyashma for Tirduf. The people, you know, are so expert in what they're doing. So the Gemara says, well, not everybody's expert. Some people have this ability and or this training, and other people don't. Fine. We don't care about that for the moment. What we do care about is the next line, which is, the Gemara says very pointedly, Yomru Baki Mutter She'eno Baki Asur. Why don't you just say, it's very reasonable to say, listen, there's a group of people for whom there's no psik reisha, and there's another group of people for whom there is a psik reisha. So why do we need a single, or why would you think that there would be a single psak? Well, what the psak should be is, for who, whichever population number A, right, or letter A, there's no psik reisha. If there's no psik reisha, it's darvash eino miskaven, and it's mutter. For population B, there is a psik reisha, and therefore, it is asur. That's what the Gemara is saying, right? Yomru baki mutter, she'eno baki asur. That seems very reasonable. This is the only Gemara like it, by the way, in Chas, where the Gemara has a case of psik reisha, or a case where, you know, they thought it was a psik reisha, they established that it isn't. Then they pointed out that there seem to be two populations, right? And then the Gemara is basically saying, okay, so split the population. That would seem reasonable, right? So we should take a magnifying glass to the answer here, right? Because this is going to be very important. So the Gemara's answer is very fascinating. The Gemara says, Ro Bikian Hain, the majority are Bikian. The question is, what does that mean, that Ro Bikian? So there are three, roughly speaking, ways to understand that line. And depending on which of the three you take, there are all sorts of consequences. Yeah?
The question is, if we're going to say Rov Bikian, then where does the whole concept of Torah come from? If they're Rov Bikian, then why would they be Rov Torahs?
Well, I mean...
Rov non-Torahs.
Okay. So for the people who are Torahed, or maybe they're Torahed...
So in those cases, let them be Torahed.
It doesn't matter. Meaning, they could be Torahed. The Torahed question isn't such a strong question anyway, because the important thing is not that the people have 100% capacity, but that they have, let's say, but for them it's not a psik reisha.
That's the point.
So not being a psik reisha doesn't mean that there isn't also some tirda with respect to the Ptur of Kriyashma, frankly. I mean, the Rishonim discuss that problem. So I don't think, you know, that part of it doesn't really concern me so much. A much more pressing concern is the Hilchos Shabbos side of it, and that is, meaning there's an implication of this. If you read the Gemara Kipshuto, right? The simplest literary reading of the Gemara is the conceptually most ambitious reading of the Gemara, most difficult reading of the Gemara. Meaning, it sounds like what the Gemara is saying is that since Rov, right, since the Rov population do not have a psik reisha, therefore it's not a psik reisha for the miut either. That's what it sounds like the Gemara is saying. Now, the problem with that is, well, what's the problem? I mean, we have... Well, Hashid on the Miyad wouldn't be such a problem because at least, you know, then you would be saying that in theory, Azlinam Basarov applies here. So you say, you know, okay, you know, Meir is Choshesh for the Miyad. Some people are, some people aren't. Fine, we could discuss it in that way. But what I'm saying, the bigger problem is, what does this have to do with Rov and Miyad at all? Meaning what? The typical Rov and Miyad is when you have a Suffolk, right? Let's say you find a piece of meat in the street. It came either from a kosher butcher shop or a treifa butcher shop, and we know that most of the meat or most of the butcher shops are kosher, right? So it means we don't know the identity of this meat, but we have a rule. Torah says, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. So you can resolve a suffix. You can say, you know what, more likely than not, the probability is something you can rely on. Now you could ask your question. That is, should we be even choshesh for the miut That's Rav Meir is koshish lemimiyot, and the Chachamim aren't so koshish lemiyot, or sometimes we are, sometimes we are. That's a Torah in its own right. But basically, the classic case of a rov and a miyot is a case of safek, and a rov is bevarer, rov is machriya, whatever you want to say, that we have a long history of azino basarov. It's out of the conversation about tirin, right? But here, there's no safek, because 30%, it doesn't matter the number, let's take a number, 30% of the population don't know how to do this. So for the 30%, there's no safek. We're not relying that the person is part of the rove. We know he's not part of the rove. We know who knows how to do this technique and who doesn't know how to do this technique. 70% know, 30% don't know. That's not mixed in the population unknowingly. The people who know that they know, and the people, or we know that they know. So if there's no safek, where's the rove? Ah. So, what I'd like to suggest, well, first I'd like to mention, is our three pshatim here. And then I want to, if we're going to keep the pshuto shoshat here, that's the most conceptually difficult, and that's where we're going to have to work the hardest, but I think we're going to get the greatest payoff, too. But before we get to that, let me just mention quickly the other two. So one pshat is just to simply explain that we just didn't mean, that this was one psak. When the Gemara asks, you know, let the Bekiyin, you know, be mutter, and let the Eidim Bekiyin be Aser. Right? So the Gemara says, no, Rov, according to some Rishonim, what this means is, in Achanami, that's exactly the Psak. The population for which this is a Psikresha are Aser, the population for which it's not are mutter. What the Gemara meant to say was that when we said mutar libo b'tchila b'shabbos, we were speaking for most of the people, meaning for the majority population. But in Achanami, for the minority population, and they know who they are, in some cases we know who they are too, right? It's Aser. Now that is the most difficult to read in the Gemara, literary, from a literary point of view, but conceptually it's the easiest. There's no chiddush there. What we're basically saying is that there's not one psak for all people. The psak here depends on the circumstances, and that's totally reasonable.
Don't we have a principle, lo plug?
Well, but remember, we're dealing with a doraisa and a maisa avera here. You're not going to say lo plug as a kula, you'll say lo plug as a chumra. Yeah. But so the problem was that we said before, rav shari lemival b'shabbos, we said it's mutter. And we're saying, why is it mutter? Because rov. For Rov, but for the miyut, for whom it's a psikresha, it's vadai chayiv and asur. So you're not going to say lo plug as a kula. So what? So the first pshat, we'll just say we're not saying lo plug. We're not saying anything. We're saying bikim are mutter, einim bikim are asur. But we were talking about the Rov when the rabbi got up and he clapped on the bima and he said he should have clarified a little more that he didn't mean everybody. He meant the majority. For the majority of the people, this is fine.
So it's not a psikresha.
Because right. No, it's not a psikresha for one group,
yeah,
and it is for them. But for the group, it is a psikresha. It's also.
But a psikresha, by definition,
you're already getting fancy. But that's not the simple. Put it this way: when the people are about to, you know, they're about to engage in this behavior, and they know that for them it's a psikresha. It's a psikresha. I'm going to labor a little bit. I started last time to explain how it might not be that way, and maybe what you're saying, but you have to explain why. The simple pshat is a psikresha or not psikresha depends on the circumstances. Right? If every time I do an action, it's going to cause this result, then for me it's a psikresha. Why do I care that for my neighbor it's not a psikresha? Because he does things differently and he knows different techniques. Right? Let's say for me, when I walk on, the way I walk on the grass, it doesn't pull out the grass. I'm very light-footed, or I scamper. I don't know. But, you know, my leaden-footed neighbor, you know, maybe for physiological reasons or other, whatever style reasons, every time it's 100%. So, because it's not a psikresha for me, it's not a psikresha for him. I'm not saying yes or no, but I'm saying logically. We'll get back to that. Okay, so that's one pshat. The second pshat is a little more subtle, and the second pshat basically is what a lot of Rishonim said, but then there are nuances in it. And they said as follows. For 60% of the population is no psikresha, right? So what they said was, if 60% can manage this intentionally, then the other 40% is not a psikresha either, because by accident, the technique never gets done by accident. right? A pocket call, you know, by accident. So it's not a psik resha anymore. Now, there are two points to be made with regard to this consideration. One is, if you're going to say that already, now just saying, if one part of the population can control this, then it's not a psik resha for anybody, because by accident, the Rishonim use the language, nizdam ein lo. You know, he's not planning it, but by coincidence, you know, once in every 50 times or 100 times, it'll turn out good for him too. Physically, it's doable, so by accident, he'll end up doing it in the right, in the proper sequence or whatever. There are two problems with that. Okay, one problem is it really true? And is it really true has two components. I'll give you two mishalim just very quickly. One is a legal point, and the other is a physical point. There are people who can run a 4-minute mile or less. Now it's even less, right? I remember when the guy broke the... Jim Ryan, was that his name? What?
Roger Bannister.
Roger Bannister? There was a guy, Jim Ryan, though, right?
Yeah.
Afterward. Oh, Bannister's the first one. Yeah. He broke the... it's also fascinating. Once he broke it, everybody could break it. But, you know, even Tinoko Shobas Rabban are just doing 4-minute miles now. But the point is, can everybody run a 4-minute mile? Because some people can. The answer, I'm guessing, this might be a bad mashal. Or can everybody, there are swimmers in the world who can do whatever the amount is in X amount of time. But could you say b'mizdamein that anybody can do it? I'm guessing the answer is no. Because if you haven't trained and you don't have the lung capacity, then you can never do it.
Right.
Meaning it's not true that because one population can do something, that another population can do it by accident, can do it, coincidentally. That's not always true. In some cases, the particular training or the complexity and the knowledge that you need, is a sine qua non. Moreover, that's one point. The second point, which is a legal point, is when we say psik resha is 100%, do we mean 100% of the norm? Or do we also mean, even if some fantastic, confluence or convergence, of circumstances apply. And as we mean to say is, if you walk normally and you intend to walk normally, now this is not going to happen. Of course, some crazy circumstance can take place, but that's not part of the 100%, because that just doesn't register. That's just But I'm saying it's not even in the number. Let's say you did it naturally, and 99% out of 100 times, that might be a psik. That's a machlokas. There's a Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, where it seems to say the psik ratio could be less than 100%. But the Ramban in the Sugi here in Ksuvis and in Shabbos says, no, psik ratio is 100%. What I'm saying is, even if you take 100%, meaning you're eliminating even miut sheba miut, but maybe there's a difference between a miut sheba miut when you do things normally, and a miut sheba miut when crazy circumstances that can never be duplicated or that are out of the norm take place, or where there's a kumvase intrusion. That's point number two. Point number three is as follows. If you already accept this idea that if a big group can do it, if one group can do it, the other person can happen, it can happen to him by accident. So then why do you need the rove? Why don't you just say, if there's any group that can do this, or any person that can do this, then it can happen to anyone by accident, and therefore there's no longer a psik resha. So the Me'iri al-Atar, and a few other Rishonim too, say, Inochanami, the rove is there for hyperbole reasons. It's an exaggeration. Once you're saying that the idea is that it's not a psik resha because it's efshar b'mizdamein, it could happen without planning, then we don't need the rove anymore. Now, it could be that the rove is necessary for one of two reasons. Either because it goes to what we said before, which is how idiosyncratic and crazy, right, in either the training part of it or in the registering part of it, the legal issue, right, do we have to be looking at this? So what you might say is, if a very small group of, if only Bannister, Roger Bannister?
Roger Bannister.
Yeah. If only Roger Bannister V.A. Dosso, can do this, then, for the rest of the people, they can't even do it b'mizdamein. But if you can train 60% of the people to do it, then probably anybody can do it b'mizdamein. I don't know if that's true either, but I think it becomes more likely, right? And certainly with regard to our second point, which is, do you need 100% or is it 100% of the norm? So what you might say is, well, if 60% of the people can do this, then the way that it's done already becomes part of the norm. You understand what I'm saying? So that is, there's another factor, and that is, at what point do we decide whether or not we're dealing with two populations or one population? And here, too, what you might say is, that depends on whether there's a rove. Okay. That's the second approach. The third approach is the one which we have the most difficulty with, but one is a simple pshat of the Gemara, which is, rove people don't have a psik resha, and therefore even the miut for whom there is a psik resha, lemaisa, right, it's not a psik resha. But we asked the question a second ago, this isn't rove of safek, it's what's going on? So here I'd like to suggest we have another model in the world of rove. We'll talk more about it next year. And that's the theme of rubo kekula, meaning, sometimes you have different ingredients. I'll give you an example from the world of food, or the world of brachos, you know, in food, right? What bracha do you make on a food, bake on a food substance, which is composed, as many are, of multiple ingredients? And some of the ingredients get one kind of bracha, and the other ingredients get another kind of bracha. So there are different models of this, as we know. Like the Gemara says in brachos, Rabbi Shmuel, we're of the opinion that if you have mizonos mixed in, and it's not just to keep the object together, right? It's not a stabilizer. It's for the taste. Even though it's a miut, mizonos is such stature that you make a mizonos, right? But for most of these issues, that's not how we do it. We do it by rove. We say, you know what? There's processed food here, there's shahakol in there, and there is adama in there. Or there's adama and there's eitz. Whatever the case may be. How do you figure it out? Sometimes you go by the rove. What's that based on? Because what you're saying is, listen, you have an object. You have an object made of multiple ingredients, which is the dominant ingredient that defines the object. Right? That's not a suffix. We're not saying, oh, every time you take a bite, you know, there's a rove chance that you're eating the mizonos part or the shot. That's not what's going on. You have a single item, a food, substance, and you're trying to give it a definition. So you say, you know what? The predominant ingredient defines what it is. It's a shahakol food. It's an adama food. It's an eitz food, right? Similarly, that's how Reb Chaim explained. You know what we'll talk about a lot in some next year. Dayanim, right? You have three dayanim in a dini mamonis case, right? So one says chayim and the other says zakai, or vice versa. It doesn't matter. We go by the rove. But the evidence is that. And the law, you know, the lawyers and the judges will appreciate this. You could have thought that what that means is that you really only need two judges to win a case, right? But you need three in order to get two. But that doesn't seem to be the pshat in the halacha. You really need three judges. So if you need three judges and it's not 3-0, so how is 2-1 qualifying? The answer is because when you sit down to a din Torah, the three judges sit down to a din Torah. Basically, the implicit understanding is that it's the consensus conclusion of the three that is that the majority will establish what the three as a unit, right, are concluding. And that consensus conclusion, right, is signed off on. The third dayan who thinks that they're making a mistake, he doesn't have to be happy. And there are some issues in terms of malpractice, which we'll speak about, but not today, not this year, but in the next year. But there are some issues. But on the whole, the evidence is that the totality of the Beis Din, right? This is how Reb Chaim wants to explain the Bali Tosis, who tried to, we say, have a rule, Ein Hochem Bama Manach HaRov. Right? Because of Motzim Mechaver Olav Araya. You don't go by Rov and Dini Mamanis, because Motzim Mechaver Olav Araya, as long as there's a suffix. So why can three dayanim, two out of three dayanim decide? So Reb Chaim explains, because this isn't the rule of Acharav Lahatos gets you to the birur part of the safek and din, but the actual psak isn't based on Acharav Lahatos. It's based on rubo kikulo, right? The majority defines the totality. That's why when you have a minyan, let's say, right? So, you know, there's the old joke, you know, that they used to say, like, why do you need a minyan? You should say, as in a bus a rove. You know, so the joke answer is, we do. You really need 19 people for a minyan. Anyways, but that aside, but if you have a minyan, let's say you have 10 people, which is really a minyan, Right? So how many people in the minyan need to be really participating in the Davar Shebikdusha? Right? It depends also whether it's a Chavos HaYachid or Chavos HaRabim, whether the ten are there just to allow it to happen, or you need the participation of the Tzibor. There are different models for this. But especially where you need the minyan, usually we say you need more than Rov. Right? That's based on the concept of Rubo Kakulo. Rubo Kakulo. So what I want to suggest in this Gemara is that if you want to read a Kipshuto, which is the minority have a psik ratio. The majority do not have a psik ratio. Since the majority don't have a psik ratio, it's not a psik ratio, even for the minority. What? But there's no suffix. We know it's vadai that for them they can't do it without a psik ratio. I want to suggest the model of Rubo Kakulo. But now we need to explain how. So now I want to go back to Vav Min Aleph, Tosfos and Vav Min Aleph. In Tosfos and Vav Min Aleph, we encounter the debate Siyuk. Between the Aruch and Tosfos.
Sorry? There's no Tsiruf between
the
Rubo
and the Miyut. No Tsiruf? That's what I want to explain. I mean, where's the Rubo Kakulo? You're asking the following. You're saying, I understand Rubo Kakulo, but that's because there's a circle around everything. There's Tsiruf. But where's the Tsiruf here? Okay. So this is what I want to get to. This is what I want to try to make a case for.
Is that Tosfos? The
I think so. I think that's a Tosas. Hard to know, but I think that might be the Tosas on Vav Med Beis to say. So Tosas Vav Med Aleph records the debate between the Aruch and the Balei Tosas, which we read last time, so I'm not going to read it inside right now, but let's just talk about it for a minute. Which is as follows. Psik Reisha is Chai. But that's Psik Reisha de Nichale. Psik Reisha de Lo Nichale. Right, you have a psik ratio, but you're not interested. So the Gemara says, like in Kuf Gibel and Shabbos, the Gemara says you're weeding, you're pulling out stuff from the ground because you want to use it as firewood or whatever, right? And it's also stimulating growth. So the Gemara says, let him also be chayiv mishum zoreya. So the Gemara says, well, he's not miskaving. That's not what he's thinking about. He's not interested in that. He's not focused on that. So the Gemara says, but it's a psik ratio. When he pulls out the weeds from the ground, it's going to stimulate growth. Whether he's thinking about it or not, that's what psik ratio means. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha, da avid ba'ara de chavre. It's not his property, he doesn't care. Psik ratio lo nichale. That's the Gemara in Ayin Heyom and Aleph, right? The Gemara says, when you're hatzad chilazo in Shabbos, hatzad chilazo in ha'potzo, you trap the legendary chilazon, and you squeeze it, because you want to extract the dye, right? So the Gemara says that you're chayiv. So the Gemara says, well, you should also be chayiv mishum etilas neshama, because you're murdering this poor legendary chilazo, right? So the Gemara says, it is true that you are, taking the life of a chilazon, but you're not chayiv in that malacha. And the reason is, because if you had your druthers, you would want the chilazon to be alive, because the dye is more vibrant, right? Lo nichale ki hechai, Deleitzil tziv'e. That's what the Gemara says. The color is more vibrant as long as the chilazon is alive. So that makes it a psik resha delo nicha le. Okay. So Oliver Shas we have psik resha, and Oliver Shas we have psik resha lo nicha le. The Aruch claims that psik resha lo nicha le is mutter. Okay? That's it. Tosis here quotes it. I'm not going to go through the whole thing again, but four lines into the wide lines. Apagav the Hava psik resha, v'chem pirsh ba'aruch, kol psik resha de lo nichale, shari. And then he has rayas, ikar rayasa miperek kol tadir, right, this is four lines into the wide lines of the big tosis. Tosin zvachim, alibid rab shim, mizalfin, yayin al gabi ha'ishim. You can sprinkle a little bit of wine on top of the fire of the mizbeach. How can you do that? Apagav the psik resha hu. It's going to extinguish the flame, and you're not allowed to extinguish the flame of the Mizbeach. The Vadai Mechabahu. But Kivin Delo Nichale Bahai Kibui. Sorry. Aruch says this is one of the Gemaras that proves my point. Okay? Another Gemara is the Gemara in Odmai Sirai Melulva Gazel. The Kam Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon, Mema Temanovim Biyom Tov, Anve Hadas. You can take off the berries of a Hadas to make it kosher as a Dalmi, because you're doing it Betoras Achila. Parich, Hamatakin Mana. You can't do that because you're smakim apatish. You're creating a kosher hadas. Umukin lo b'miskavin lachila. Sova la kavua. The Gemara says parech. Mad Rav Shim psik reisha v'leya. Who cares what you're thinking? It's inevitable. Mishani lo tshichid yisla yashat achriti. has another Hoshana in the bag. He doesn't need it for the Dalad Minim. So Tosus understands, or Rashi understands, Orach understands. We'll get to another understanding hopefully in a couple of minutes. Alma kimin de lo nichale velo kaish b'haitikun shari afagav de psik reishu. However, the Re disagrees. And in his opinion, the halacha is that, here, skip three more lines down. Afagav de hava psik reishu de lo nichale, also the chatchil rab shimin kamo melacha shen tzricha legufa. Rayos ha'aruch, enan rayos, and then he goes out one raya by the next. The view of the Bali Tosis is that psik reisha delo nichale is pater avalasa. Oh. So the view of the Bali Tosis is pretty easy to understand. They think the following. You start off with davar sheinu miskaven, right? Which is mutter. But what are you going to say? I don't intend for this malacha to take place. But you know it's going to happen. It's inevitable. So on an awareness level, the question is whether this is enough. Well, it's for the Bali Tosis, apparently. On an awareness level, it's undeniable that that B will take place whenever you do A. So that becomes, for the Bali Tosis, a Davar HaMiskaven. If it's a Davar HaMiskaven, so then what is it? It's a Davar HaMiskaven but lo nichale, right? What's that called? Amalach Shein Tzricha Legufa. Plug it into a different category. It's beautiful, but really. I mean, the chiddush of the Bali Tosis is that they assume that inner miskaven doesn't mean I'm not focused on it. It means I'm not aware, right, that this is going to happen. When I drag a kise and a safsal from point A to point B, right, and it's not so heavy that it's a psikresha, so even if it makes a charitz, I could say, you know what, I didn't know that was going to happen. It's a davar sheinu miskaven. But when I cut off the head of the chicken, right, I can't say I didn't know that the chicken was going to die. Because it's knowable, it's known to him, it should be known to him. It's accessible knowledge, right, explicitly or at minimum latently, if he would just use his, you know, simple cause and effect instinct. Right? So according to Bali Tosis, what happens is that every psikresha, there's no category called psikresha. Right? Psikresha is a hechetimtzi. It's a circumstance that turns what otherwise might have been mistaken for a davar sheinu miskaven into a davar miskaven. I said, what's nicha and lo nicha? Oh, that's just part of the world of davar miskaven, meaning davar miskaven de nichale is called a malacha shetzricha legufa. Davar miskaven shelo nichale is called a malacha sheinu tzricha legufa. And what's a din of malacha sheinu tzricha legufa? It's patra avalasar. That's the aruch. That's why that's the Bali Tosis against the aruch. That's why Bali Tosis bring a raya fascinating from Mapis Mursa. The Gemara has a case here, we had it last year. What's Mapis Mursa? You have a, what's it called?
A blister.
A blister, something
boil,
like that. Yeah.
Boil.
A boil, even more. Right? So you need to, oh, the doctors are here. Right? So you have to, right?
That was the second opinion.
You need to drain the. It could cause tremendous infection, right? Trying to make sure. I don't want to overstep my. Anyways, I'm a doctor, but not that kind of a doctor.
You need a dermatologist.
So, what?
You need a dermatologist.
No, you don't need a dermatologist. This is really. This isn't the skin problem. This is an infection problem, right? So you need to drain the pus out of the wound. That's called mapis mursa. So mapis pashtus is, and pashtus of the Gemaras, is that what is mapis mursa? The Gemara says it's mutter. You can do it on Shabbos. But the Gemara says the reason it's mutter is mishum tsar. It really should be patra velasar, right? But it's mutter mishum tsar. So the Bali Tosis here say, I want a proof that psik reisha de lo nichale is fundamentally patra avalasar. Look at Mapis Mursa. If it wasn't for the fact of Mishum Tsar, it would have been patra avalasar. That's Tosis Raya. If you look here, that's what Tosis says. Look here. Al pirisha aruch kasha. Skip a couple lines down. Like four lines down. Everybody have it? You see where it says Shabbos Kuf Zayinu and Aleph? To me, this is very fascinating. We'll see if you agree. Al pirish aruch kasha. I have a question against the aruch. Ditznan beperik shemona shrotzim amapas mursa b'shabes im lasos lapeh chayiv. If you're interested in you know, the channel itself, then that's boneh, and you're chayiv. Because that's a malach, that's a davar miskavet. Vim lahotzi mimenu lecha, if it's to drain the pus to prevent infection, patur, the dafka mishum tsara, patur or mutter. The Gemara says the reason that it's even mutter is because tsar. It can be very painful, as we know. Right? Avali lav mishum tsara, but if not for tsar, it would have been asur. Avagav lo nichale bepeklal, di lichem minapekula, miskavet namichayim. Now, this is a proof that Tosfos brings here, and in Shabbos, few places. In my opinion, this proof is tamua biyoter. It's a surprising proof. Why is it a surprising proof? What is Mappas Mursa? Mappas Mursa is a davar she'ena miskavim? It's a davar miskavim melach she'en tzarich haligufa. Meaning he has intention to open up to make this channel. Why is he doing it? Because he wants the channel? No, because he wants to remove the pus. That's called Malach Shein Tzvich. What's the difference between Davar Shein Miskaven and Malach Shein Tzvich HaLegufa? It can get very subtle, but in larger terms, what's the difference? Davar Shein Miskaven means there's no kavana to do the Maisa. You do Maisa, you want to do what Maisa A, but you have no interest in Maisa B. That's Davar Shein Miskaven. You want to get the Tafsal from point A to point B. You're a transport company, or you're moving, right? You're not interested in making charitzim in the karka, right? So it's not a different kind of channel. Nice. So I heard that.
Well, maybe they're different types of channels.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that channel and this channel.
No.
Maybe I was giving you too much credit.
There are two different channels. He's just having to make one, but not the other.
No, no, no. That's something else. But that's not what's happening here. He wants to get his couch to his new house. He doesn't care about the channel that he creates along the way. And it's not a psikresha. That's the davar shein in the skabe.
But
right? Which
comes first?
What?
The matas mursa, which comes first? That which was edited.
No, so matas mursa, the pashtus of what the Gemara says about matas mursa is that it's a malach shein tzricha legufa, but mishum tzar, normally it would be patr avalos, or mishum tzar, it's mutter. So now think about it. Tosfos is proving against the aruch. What did the aruch say? If you have a davar shein in the skabe, but it's a psikresha. But it's a psikresha to lo nichale. It's mutter. So what's the case of the aruch? Something that's ainu miskaven, but psikresha, but lo nicha, right? And Tosfos is proving against the aruch from what? From a davar hamiskaven, which is a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Those are apples and oranges. What does one have to do with the other? The answer is Tosfos here. It is still tamua. But in my opinion, what's happening is Tosfos is preaching. Right? To his own choir. You preach to your choir? Or to his own school. Right. Meaning, what is Tosfos' view of what happens in Psikresha? You have a Davra Shein Miskaven. The Psikresha turns it into a Davra Miskaven. The Nonichale turns it back into a Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, which is Patra Velasar. So Tosfos says that's exactly like what happens in Mappas Mursa. You have a Davra Miskaven. Because you want it to make the channel, right? Just so you don't want to make it because you want the binyan, you made it because you want to get the pas out. That's a malach shein tzricha legufa. So Tosfos is comparing malach shein tzricha legufa and psikresha de lo nichale. According to Tosfos, that's a great comparison, but it's not going to prove anything to the aruch. Ah, why doesn't it prove anything to the aruch? Because the aruch, why does the aruch think that psikresha de lo nichale is mutter? The answer is he thinks it's mutter because he thinks it's still a davar shein miskaven, which is mutter. He doesn't agree with Tosfos that a psikresha always turns a miskaven into miskaven, and then it becomes a question of ein tzricha legufa. That's gufa where he argues. He says, "What are you telling me about Mappas Mursa? Mappas Mursa is davar miskaven. Of course, it's not mutter. It's only malach shein tzricha legufa." But I, meaning the aruch, am telling you that if you have a davar shein miskaven, right? But it's a psikresha, the lonicha. It's mutter because it's still a davar shein miskaven. Yeah.
Mappas Mursa seems different. Psikresha is something that follows an action. But here, Mappas Mursa, the psikresha is before. He's making a
what you're saying really is.
Psikresha already. You hear? But that's the wrong order. The Pesuk Resha has to be
Well, you're really asking the same question that I'm asking. Meaning, what you're trying to point out is, Mappas Mursa is not a Pesuk Resha. Pesuk Resha is when you have two different things, you're trying to do one, and you're claiming, I don't know the other's going to happen. Mappas Mursa, he's doing exactly what he wants to do. He just has a different motivation. There's no one and two. There's no A and B. That's exactly what we're saying. But for Tosas says, whenever there's a Pesuk Resha, there's no A and B. Because you know it's going to happen, so it's like, if I know that it's going to make a Charitz, 100%, so if I'm familiar with the outcome, I can't claim that I'm not familiar. So I am transporting the object, and I'm also making a charitz. But the Aruch says these are two different things. Now, the debate in the Aruch, within the Aruch, there are still two issues. One is, so why is Pesuk Resha d'nichalei chayiv? So the Ramban takes the view, well, if you know it's going to happen, and you have an interest in it happening, then that combination finally makes Davar Sheni Miskaven into a Davar Miskaven. You might not be focused on this, but if you know it's going to happen and you benefit from it happening, that pushes it over the top. That makes it into a Davar Miskaven. That's how the Ramban understands the Aruch. So, Gufa, Nicha or Lo Nicha, dictates whether we retain Davar Sheni Miskaven, which is even mutter, or we lose it to a Davar Miskaven, which is Chayiv. Now, according to the Ramban, if that's the case, there's still no category called, I don't mean there's no case, there's no separate legal category called Pesuk Resha. Pesuk Resha just dictates, in some cases, it turns an Eina Miskaven into a Miskaven, and in other cases, it's not able to do that, so it remains Davar Sheni. There's still only two categories, Davar Sheni Miskaven and Davar Miskaven. The Rajba, however, doesn't interpret that way. The Rajba says, for the Aruch, all Pesuk Reshas remain Davar Sheni Miskaven, even the ones that are Nichalei. But there's a category in the Halacha called Pesuk Resha for which you are Chayiv, even though it's a Davar Sheni Miskaven. Now, how could that be, and how could we explain that? So let me say two things. Number one, from a literary point of view, the word Mo, when we say Mo Derab Shimon B'Pesuk Resha, right? What do you mean Mo Derab Shimon? He admits, he concedes. What do you mean he concedes? What did Rav Shimon say? Dov Shimon Miskaven is mutter. According to the Balei Tosus, when we say Mod Rav Shimon B'Pesuk Resha, it's a misnomer. It's not really accurate. I mean, it's not a terrible question. Rav Shimon will say, oh, you're asking me from Pesuk Resha? Don't ask me from Pesuk Resha. That's not Dov Shimon Miskaven. That's a Dov Shimon Miskaven. I agree in that case, but he doesn't agree. He doesn't agree to Rabbi Yehuda, right? But according to the, what I'm adding, according to the Rajma's reading of the Aruch, there's a new category in Halacha called Pesuk Resha, for which you sometimes are Chayiv, even though it retains the identity of Davar Sheni Miskaven. So then the word Modeh is more legally precise, meaning Rav Shimon says, I think Davar Sheni Miskaven is Mutter, but I agree that there's one kind of Davar Sheni Miskaven, which I continue to acknowledge as a Davar Sheni Miskaven, which is Chayiv. You know which kind? Pesuk Resha d'nichalei. But once you say that, and Pesuk Resha is a new category, we need to know how it works. How does it work? Point number one. Point number two. There's a day in the Shita Mekubetzas here, the Shita Yeshana, which says that even though Pesuk Resha is chayiv, it will never be mechayiv you a chatas. What does that mean? That's a very shita siachid, but I just want to use it to make a point. If you held like Balei Tosus, which is that every Pesuk Resha turns an Eina Miskaven into a Miskaven, of course you have to be Chayav Chatos, because you did a Malacha B'Miskaven. Meaning, Shita Yishana seems to be saying there's a new category called Pesuk Resha, which you're Chayav for, even though it remains Eina Miskaven, but Modar Ab Shimon. But just because Modar Ab Shimon that you're chayiv doesn't mean that you'd bring a korban. It's still Eina Miskaven, right? Meaning there's something in between. Oh. How does this work, this Pesuk Resha? And even if we take the view that Pesuk Resha is a Davar Miskaven, there's another way to say that too. Till now we've been saying that why is Pesuk Resha a Davar Miskaven, according to Tosas? Because he knows it's going to happen. He can't deny cause and effect. Right? So even though he didn't focus, The fact is that he is aware. Right? There's another way to explain that psik resha turns an Eino Miskaven into a Miskaven. You know what that is? If every time you do A, B happens, meaning A and B merge into one, and your kavana for A legally is mitzuref to B. That might be equal, a regular davar miskaven, or maybe that's the mechayev of psik resha, the equation between A and B. Now, once we say that psik resha isn't about your awareness, your knowledge, you can't deny what is accessible to you, but rather psik resha is about causality, inevitability, and the fact that even though you're focused on A, right? Since A and B have this relationship, a hyphenated relationship, an equal sign relationship, whatever the visual, I think they're different. Doesn't matter for the moment. Once we say psik resha is about the objective causal relationship between A and B, so now we can understand a whole bunch of things in psik resha, a whole bunch of shitas in psik resha. I think I mentioned already, right, the view of Rashi. Rashi says in Zvachim, that case before, remember, Mizalfin, the Yayin, Al Gabe, Hamizbeach. The guy's sprinkling some of the Yayin, some of the Yayin, part of the Nesachim, on the flame. So what's happening? It's going to extinguish the flame, which normally would be an Iser. So how's he able to do that? It's a psik resha. So Rashi, so Orach says, that's how I know psik resha lo nichale is mutter, right? Tosas has another answer. Rashi in Zvachim says, the reason it's not psik resha. Why? Epshale betipim dakin. He didn't have to sprinkle such big amount. Could have sprinkled less and it wouldn't have gone out. So all the Achronim ask, I don't understand, they say, but he's not. Because I have an alternative to do something differently, I shouldn't be held accountable for the path that I choose. What I'm doing is a psik resha, and that's the rush. Right, the Rosh says in Psachim, if a person's in a place where there's the, you know, aroma of Avodah Zarah, so it, the whole sugya of Efshar, Kamachavin, Lo Efshar, Lo Kamachavin, Efshar V'Kamachavin, Lo Efshar V'Lo Kamachavin, a whole bunch of, you know, permutations. So the Rishonim asks, I don't understand, it's just a psik resha. He's standing there, there's the smell of Avodah Zarah, he's going to be benefiting from it. Says the Rosh, Efshar Listom bin Nechira. He could, he could take actions to prevent himself from smelling it. So they ask the Achronim ask, but he's not. He could, but if he doesn't, he has to do a kumvaseh to prevent this psik resha, right? But if he decides not to, then he vadai knows that he's going to be smelling the Avodah Zarah, so he's miskaven, right? But if we take the view that psik resha is based not on the awareness of it, right? But on the alpidin equation of A and B. The inevitability of A leading to B means that kavana on A also relates to B legally. So then we have to ask the following question. Let's say it's possible to do A without B. So does A still equal B? Maybe it matters, even if we happen to be taking the root of B, right, which comes through A, there's another way to do B. Or there's, even if we're taking the root of A, which leads to B, there's another way to do A without B. Once there's a way to do A without B, then A and B are not the same. That's what Rashi meant, clearly, about tipim dakin. Rashi said, you may be doing tipim gasin. But since you could have done tipin dakin, zilof al gabe ha'ishim b'yayin does not equal kibui. And that's what the Rosh meant. The Rosh says, listen, you might be standing here and you're not taking any action to prevent yourself from smelling the Avodah Zarah. But since you didn't have kavana for it, and it's not inevitable because you could stop it, so the kavana that you have is related only to what you have and not to anything more. So what I'd like to suggest is, if that's the case, then we have a good model for our Ruba Kekula in Hataya. And we were able to answer your question as well. You don't have to say this, but you could say it. Meaning, what we want to know is there's a population out there, every time they do action A, right, they start this marital relationship, they do action B. They do malacha of Chabala on Shabbos. But there's a bigger population for whom there's no psik reisha. So originally the Gemara says, listen, there are two populations. Paskin usher for one population, paskin mutter for the other population. The Gemara says, no. Because it isn't just two populations, there's a rov. But there's no safek. The rov doesn't help the miut, does it? The answer is sure does. If we were interested in awareness, then it doesn't. But if we're interested in the objective relationship between action A and action B, in this case, between l'mival b'shabbos and to make meleches chavala, so if for the majority there's no equation, then for the minority, there's no equation either. It could be every time they do this it will happen, but that's not the point. Al pidin, these are still two separate actions. So what I'd like to prove is that this also may be the pshat in the Rambam, and that also this may be a way to understand some very interesting shitas in Chachmei Sfarad, which I think have important implications for psik reisha too. So give me another couple of minutes to finish with this. The Rambam I don't have with me. I should have put it on the sheet. I'm not quite sure why I didn't. Let me talk about it just for a minute. The Rambam number one in Perek Aleph Hilchos Shabbos, you know, the Rambam starts with Klalim of Shabbos. Talks about Rav Shein B'Skabin and B'Sasek, Rav Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, psik reisha. The Rambam never formulates explicitly psik reisha delo nichalei, being mutter. He only mentions psik reisha de nichalei as a category. The cases of psik reisha delo nichalei that are mutter, or the Rambam has, but he never, it's just strange that he never felt the necessity, right? Almost as if psik reisha is a chiddush, ve'en l'chabal l'chidusha. And part of the chiddush of psik reisha is limited to psik reisha d'nichalei. If it's not psik reisha d'nichalei, then it's not chay. And if you look at the language of the Rambam, which I don't have in front of me right now, but I think it's Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid. I could be wrong, it might be Halacha Hey. You have it? Oh, wonderful. Okay, call my bluff. Okay. I should have known, right? No, this is Ishus. It's true that we're learning Tzuvos, but we're in the we're in the Shabbos part of Tzuvos now. So, anyways, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet Or Hey. So the Rambam formulation is clear that Psik Reisha is Chayiv, even though it's Lo Nichal, even though it's Davar Sheinu Miskav, like I was suggesting for the Rajba on the Arv. So I think the pshat in the Rambam is that Psik Reisha is a Chiddush, because it's an exception to Davar Sheinu Miskav, right? Nein L'chabel Chidusha. If it's Nichalei, fine, but not if it's not Nichalei. But let's go a step further. The Chiddush Ran in Shabbos, this we have in front of us. The Chiddush Ran is not really the Ran. The present one that they put out, the Mosar of Kook one, is the Ran. But the old printed Chiddush Ran in Shabbos is a Talmud of the Ra'ah. He records Ra'ahs in Shabbos, as it does here. Anyway, commenting on the Gemara in Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara about the weeding, you know, where they say, oh, but if it's his neighbor's yard, so he doesn't care about the growth, and therefore it's a psik reisha de lo nichalei, right? So listen to this. That's very fascinating. I'm going to try to show you the Ra'ah, the Ritva, the Rajba. It's Rabbeinu Kreskes here in Ksuvas too, but I don't have it on the page. I think they took the idea that we're talking about a psik reisha, but instead of seeing it as miskavein, in miskavein, they understood psik reisha as a separate mechayev, and they really understood that the issue is to what extent does B in the A and B equation remain tafel to A, in which case it's not a meleches machsheves because it's too tafel. It's a meleches agav and a meleches mimela. Only if it's nichalei, right, can the causality create a melacha, because the fact that it's nichalei gives a certain stature and independence to this action. In other words, the idea of psikresha, denicha, and lo nicha as the dividing line between a melacha chashuva and a derivative malacha, a malacha de mimela or a malachas agav. And the idea that a malachas agav and a malacha de mimela is not a malachas machsheves asra Torah. Whole new idea, but just one step beyond of what we've been saying. Okay, so let's listen to this. So the Vim Tomar, Ma'ich Maslan Imud Chavrei. Mikomakom Hamalacha Nasas Mimela. Well, he didn't get the memo about Psikresha to Lanichale. Right? And that's a Dhamma Shein of Miskavein. Obviously thinks that this has nothing to do with Miskavein, Ein Miskavein. It's all within Ein Miskavein, but it's a Chi of Psikresha. Who cares, therefore, whether it's Nicha? Pirusha Ra'ah. Kivin Dehocha Habit, listen to the language. Shtei Malachos. Lekita Seitzim V'Yipui Karka. There are two different things happening here. So Ein Miskavein L'Shteim Chayiv Shtayim. If he's interested, you know, he says, oh, in one fell swoop, I'm going to weed the field, I'm going to stimulate growth, and I'm going to get some firewood. Right? So then, these two things are being related to separately, distinctively. Each one is a davar chashuv. Right? In the skavin l'shteim chayiv shtayim, kinami rabbi Yerushalmi, hilkach, kivin delom b'chavin el l'chada. But if he's only interested in the firewood, dainu l'kita sa'etzim, v'yipuya karka me'elav huba. It's agav, it's a derivative balacha. Ve'eno mechavin lava lo nichale. He didn't focus on it, and he doesn't care about it. Right? Lo chashiva malacha. It doesn't have the stature to be considered a malacha. Kivin de me'ela vuba. A malacha means, this is a new kiddush of these Talmidei Ramban, not for the Ramban, but the Talmidim, right? To qualify as a malacha, it should be done by initiative, or at least with stature. If at least it's not being done as an independent initiative, you should at least be benefiting from it to see it as having stature. Just the language is fascinating. Right? A byproduct malacha. The nasis me'elav, v'ena mechavim v'lo nichabe, lo chashiva malacha l'kula alma. V'ayinu d'nokat d'abit b'arid d'chavrei, d'bididei lo sagidi lo nichale ba. If it's his ground, his land, so the fact that he has financial benefit gives it chashivas. V'ayinu ahid ahadas, shanavim rubim me'alav, dimu d'chavrei, muta lulka d'anavim shiha malacha, afa b'shehech shanasim me'alav. Zeinu tzarech klamashu miskavin, eliba me'alav, v'lo nichale ba, to d'chavrei hu. Through this Rambam, I mentioned before, has a very controversial explanation of the Hadas case in Hilchos Lulav. There he says, the important thing is that the guy's eating it. And it's Derech Achila. So Nosek Kam said, who cares, Derech Achila? The issue is whether it's Derech Achila. The issue is whether Yisla Hashanah Achriti. But I think what the Rambam really holds is this idea too, which is, the guy's eating. He's eating berries. He's hungry for berries. You know, so as long as it isn't completely obvious that this also ends up benefiting him in the most obvious way, namely, he needs another one of the, he's short, one of his hadasim, you know, for the dalad minim. So we look at it at what it is. I mean, he's eating. And agav, some other malacha is happening. Nothing to do with it. Not a davar chashuv. So the Ritva, who is a Talmud of the Ra'ah, says this in a slightly different way, but same idea. Miu tamiya milsa. Tuva, kol heched psik reisha v'layamus me'ezatam yatir Rab Shimon mishum delo nichalei. Again, it's like they didn't get the memo, right? How come lo nichalei is mutter or potter? The time of that Talmud, the motor of Shim psik reisha v'layamus mishum dekimin delo sagid delo savin malacha harel ki ilu niskave umal. Then he adds the words umaleches machshevesu. If the whole point is that inevitability, cause and effect creates maleches machsheves. Which is what Tosa says. Tosa, no, it's a davar miskaven. Nichalo nichale is a din of malachas and tzricha legufa. So the Ritva says, no, that's not true. She said, vadai legufa, v'yipakarka gomor, schita gemura. Fine. Go to 19. Ilav de mistafina miravasa, says the Ritva, although not for the Ra'ah, because he's just taking, you know, not exactly like the Ra, but it's taking off from the Ra. Havamina shalay omru kain b'talmud, d'chiloich batzlei shari, the Rab Shimon, ele b'dover shemach mas'atzmo ena kasha ma'isa malach. The only time that nicha and lo nicha matters is if we're dealing with something which is intrinsically questionable as a malacha, lacking stature. In other words, it's a memela and an agav. Mishim hachi, kalechad loichbas, chazar limahuso, these languages are just amazing. right? It reverts to its essence, to its real character. She'ein bo melacha, v'lo ma'isa chashuv. It's absence of stature. Even though you're doing the melacha on the books, you're stimulating growth in the karka. He said, but this isn't the way that we normally do that, and he doesn't care about it. So it just doesn't qualify as an act of sufficient stature. Stature is psikreshla nichal is about stature. Kegon ha'dahachid the shuras adin diipui karka kol shulach shiva melacha. Wow. Right, the stimulated growth per se, without the tzura that is normally associated with zareya, would be lacking a melacha. Like a shemekasha mishum tzorech, unless he benefits. The chen aydim emait anovim minahadas hatolush tzorech mitzvah l'tikun osa. Also tikkun b'chiyesh b'chashiv us b'chiloich b'slei lo mechavim klala v'milsa d'lo chashiv. So look again now, look at the Rajba. Let me get a little background on this Rajba just for a minute, and with this we'll conclude. And the next time we'll start with the Gemara on, next week we have regular shiur, and then we'll start with Zayin Beis. And then we'll try to figure out what to do about the first and the eighth. Yeah. So, a little background. This is a case in, this is a very fascinating discussion. Tzotzvi, right? You know, you're not allowed to trap an animal, clearly, right? Let's say the guy's home, right? And there's an animal in his house, and he has to go out. He has to go to Mincha, he has to go to visit friends, he wants to go out for a walk, whatever it is, and he wants to lock his door behind him. But there's an animal in his house. What does he do? So, the Rajba understood the Yerushalmi, we'll read it inside in just a second, as saying, as long as the person is not locking the door only for the sake of trapping the animal, even though he is locking the door with the intention also of locking in the animal, it's mutter. Let me make that clear. The other is shown him, think of this as factually incorrect, it's not what the Yerushalmi means. And they even have trouble in a lesser case. For example, let's say he knows there's an animal in his house, and if he locks the door, he's going to trap the animal. But he's not interested in doing that. Right? He's only interested in going out and, you know, locking his door. He doesn't want to leave his door open. Pirtza Koris Laganov. Right? But it's still Psikresha. So all the Rishonim said, even in the case where he has no interest, but it's a Psikresha, or he didn't, that's not his intention, that's a problem. And the Rajba is going to tell you that even if he says, I have to leave now, I have a good excuse to lock the door, isn't this amazing? First step towards building my zoo. Right? Even that's okay. Look at the Ra. Halamazadoma. Okay. Skip to... the Harajba. That's line 8. Okay. We're just going to finish this and then we'll stop. Line 8. Listen to this. Harajba katsa b'loshon hazeh. Ubirushalmi nira shehetiru linol detchila, even l'chatila, in other words, they allowed you to close beso, v'lishmar beso, utzvisha b'tocho. They allowed you lechatchila to close the door in order to safeguard your house and your possessions, right? As well as to trap the tzvi inside. The kibin shu tzorech lishmar beiso considers an objective, my words, urgency to lock your door. Afa pisha yidei kach nitzada tzvi mimela, even though it's a psikresha, you're going to lock in the tzvi, which is tzad on Shabbos, mutter. Right? Ubilvad shelo yiskaven lishmar satzvi bilvad. That's the key words. As long as your exclusive intention, right, is not only to trap the tzvi. But if your intention is dual, right, also to trap the tzvi and also to preserve the integrity of your home, then it's mutter, even though you have kavana, to trap the tzvi. That's a remarkable Rashba. Tahachi Garcina Birushalmi. Rabbi Yossi Barbun, B'shem Rabbi Chanina, he had Tzvi Rotz Kedarko. You have a deer, right, in your house, and he intends to close it in, intends to close the door, and he closes it ba'ado u'ba'ad atzvi, mutter. Ra'a tinok mivabeya b'nahar. This is where the Rashba gets it from the second case. He sees this baby bobbing in the water, Nebuch, right? Viniskavan lalo, he jumps into the water to save the drowning baby. And while he's there, right, ulahalos nechila shel dagim imo, he sees dinner, right? So the question is, mutter, Yerushalmi says, you know what? He can take the fish while he's saving the... He's got two hands, right? One for the baby and one for the fish. Wow. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbun, B'shem Rab Huna, Havim Fakeach Bagal, V'niskaven Alosa, L'Havos Tzror Shol Zehuvi. He's digging out this person who's like trapped under the... You know, it's Pikuach Nefesh, and he's trying to save his life. And he also sees a package of jewels, right? So he takes them both. Mutter. Lefiza hadam niskaven lido bado, lo bado bilvad, dafka kamar. When Yerushalmi originally said he wants to close the door because he wants to preserve his possessions, right? Therefore, he can do it even though the tzvi's inside. He didn't mean that. He meant more than that. He meant niskaven lido bado, lo bado bilvad dafka kamar, lo niskaven lido af bado kamar. V'lomar ilu tzorich lino bado, mutter af apish miskaven she ate tzvi nitzo b'to, even though he has kavana for both, ad kamisho. That's what the Rashba says. So the Ram says, Udvarv tmuim beinai, harbe. I'm shocked. Heich efshar shafilu b'miskaven lino bado b'ada tzvi. He wants to do both actions, one of which is a malacha. How can that be mutter? B'chim b'pneishu tzorich lino beso natil lasas lo malacha b'shabbos? Just because he wants to close his door, and we understand why he wants to close his door, so he's allowed to do an independent malacha on Shabbos? V'lo oda l'shani omer shafilu eina miskaven lino b'ada tzvi. Kol shi yadu shatzvi b'tocho, shi yefshalo, shulei had tzvi nitzo b'tocho, asr. Hayin darin b'kulu b'chiltim modu r'pshim b'sikresha v'layamus. Ayin Yerushalmi, zu shom Yerushalmi in acheru. That's what Yerushalmi meant. Shim niskaven lino l'spesa v'lo, niskaven l'tzvi klal, av mishach kach motza tzvi shomer b'soko mutter. If he didn't know there was a tzvi running around, and later on he found out, oops, when I closed the door, I closed in the tzvi. He's not obligated to open the door, dafka, to let him out. Because he didn't have any intention. But the idea that somehow, because he's allowed to close his door against Ganavim, he's also allowed to intentionally trap a tzvi there, mechadesi. So the Shilta Giborim, on the spot, says, I have another thing I want to talk about. He doesn't quote Rashi in Zvachim, but he quotes the same idea as Rashi in Zvachim. He says, what if you have a psikresha, right, which means that whenever you do A, B happens. But let's say it's possible to do A without B, even though the manner in which you're doing A always includes B. He says, in my opinion, that's not a psikresha. He says, and in my opinion, my chiddush is less of a chiddush than the Rashba's, but he implies that somehow there's a connection between them. Ma'inyan Shemitah, this week's Parsha, right? It's Al Har Sinai. Well, what are two big chiddushim, but what do they have to do with each other? Oh. But I think once we know the Ra'ah and the Ritva, and Rabbeinu Kreska says it's an Arsugya, and my suggestion for the Rambam, what the Rashba is, it is a big chiddush, it's a bigger chiddush, but it's an understanding, what the Rashba really saying? Rashi was saying there's certain behavior that's just part of the norm of living and being. When you leave your house, you always lock your door in a trusting society, right? So the fact is that locking the door, closing the door, is the predominant action. Even, and this is the chiddush of the Rashba, even if he has intention to use that door closing, which is a natural fabric of his life whenever he leaves the house, also to trap the tzvi, it's still tafel le'ikar. It's still a byproduct, because he would have to close the door anyway. There's a certain urgency and natural part of the fabric of life that when you leave your house, you're not leaving your door open. And therefore, even when you're intending at that same moment to double up the door, you're not doubling up the door closing. The door closing is by definition mitzuraf, only to the safety of the home and the normal fabric of leaving your house. That's the Chiddush of the Rashba. Now you could say, you know, the concept of the Rashba is not so different than the Ra'ah and the Ritva and the Rabbeinu Kreskes and what I'm saying for the Rambam, which is that the issue of psikresha, the nicha, lo nicha, etc., is to what extent you still have stature in halacha number two. Just the Rashba is just taking it a giant step further by saying door closing and house leaving is never something which, you know, which defines a malacha. So you think about, and I'm not paskining this question, but you know, we live in a time where some shilas are becoming more and more and more difficult. You have these sensors everywhere, like you walk in the street and these things are just, you know, going off all the time. In many cases, it's what we call a suffix psikration, especially if you don't know. I mean, the problem is that once you know, that's not a suffix psikration. I mean, you don't know, it's objectively knowable and discernible. Like if you walk here, then it's going to trigger that. And if you walk here, it's going to trigger that, right? You don't know, though, most of the time when you're walking. That's called suffix psikration. That's a big deal in the Shulchan Aruch. There might be A and B, but there's no awareness that it's going to happen on a Gavra level. But in addition to that, there's this question, and that is, a person is just walking. He's walking, right? He's not walking and triggering. The senses are going off, but they're going off as a davar d'mimela. They're going off as an agav, and a person's walking in the street is more compelling than closing the door. The Rashba's chiddush is still too big a chiddush because Rashba's saying he's exploiting. It's like if I were, you know, walking in the street and I dafka wanted to put on all the sensors and I walked in a path, you know, that did that, or I had a gain from it and I'm doing it intentionally. That's the Rashba basically. But the basic idea of a davra tafa leikar in the context of psikresha nicha and the lo nicha is really a model for a certain perspective on psikresha. Okay, next time we'll continue with Zion.